Shopping for a new mattress? The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Luxe and Ultra Premium Elite collections, Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts. So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Not only will the mattress be the best you have slept on, but the setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door for free. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/drink. That's helixsleep.com/drink. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. If you're anything like me, you are always trying to learn something new, and that is why I love Rosetta Stone so much. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Blaise has been learning German with Rosetta Stone and is so cool to watch because as someone who speaks German, I get to see how he learns the different pronunciations, how excited he gets when he gets something right, and the phrases that he's learning we're going to be able to use next time we visit Germany and Austria. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, and that's why We Drink listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/drink. That's rosettastone.com/drink. Hello.
Hello.
This is 2.5 weeks in advance.
Okay.
Currently.
Yeah.
We're recording this way early because we're all moving around.
It's currently October 2.
October 2, 10-2.
10-2.
How are you?
You know
guys?
What a 10-2 is on the set?
I feel like I should know that.
It's poop.
Oh.
If you ask where someone is and they say 10-2, it means they're pooping.
They're in the bathroom?
Yeah. 10-1 okay. Is they're peeing. 10-2 is they're pooping.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard people say like 10. Yeah.
Well, now you know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, fun walkie-talkie facts for you.
We're full of fun walkie-talkie facts.
Also, why would you ever admit, like, oh, 10-2? Why wouldn't you just say, long 10-1?
I have to pee for a really long... I have a big bladder.
Why would someone just willingly... It's not just, like, only one person hears that. You're walkied up to everyone on the crew. Like, everyone now knows what you're doing.
Channel 5 of your walkie now knows.
It's like, switch to 4? Okay, yes, now I'm pooping.
Listen, everybody poops them.
Everybody poops.
Everybody 10-2s.
I'm not judging. Everyone 10-2s. Oh, can that be on a shirt, Eva?
Everyone 10-2s.
Everyone 10-2s.
Oh, for God's
It'll
sake.
It'll be a little nod to our days back in the industry.
In the biz, as they say. How are you?
Well, I'm not 10-2-ing, so we're okay.
Thank God, because you're in my home, not in a bathroom. So
valid.
Ideally, you would not currently be doing that.
Oh, other than that, I'm just normal, I guess. Great. I'm glad we're doing this in advance because October is quite a wild month for us.
October is nuts, dude.
Well, it's more wild for you. I mean, you're getting married, so I don't really get to talk.
I can't even really picture what post 10-13 looks like.
Me either.
So who knows?
No, it's busy for me in that it is Halloween season, so every weekend I'm 1,000% busy.
Sure.
Also, it is Allison's birthday month.
Right.
So I've been prepping that. Although by the time she hears this, her birthday will be like in a week, right?
No, this comes out the day after her birthday.
Oh, the day after her birthday. Okay, so then she's already going to be knowing what's going on.
I believe so. 10-21, I think it comes out. Yes, 10-21.
Okay, so then can I say what I did?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We did this last year too, remember?
Yeah, we really hoped that it would come out like after Allison's birthday and we didn't mess up the calendar.
Yeah.
So I am surprising her with a trip to Catalina.
Shut up. That's so sweet.
And I just finished buying all of her presents, yesterday, I think. And she's getting a whole lot of presents.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Let me show you a picture of one of the things because you're going to be very jealous of it.
I can't wait.
I feel like last year I was much more like, it was much more personal and crafty, but also like keep in mind last time. I was able to make a lot at ISS I had the connections, like I could call people and get discounts on stuff. So like it was easier to be more creative because I had like literally a whole workshop
like
to be creative.
Stuff. Yeah.
So now it's like, we're going to go on a little getaway together.
That sounds really nice. Well, for my brother's birthday last weekend, we went to Palm Springs.
And oh yeah. That was How was
super
that?
Nice. It was good. It was really nice to just like leave for a hot second. I saw some macaws and they talked to me and they said hello.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. It was cool and creepy.
How was the dinosaur park?
Oh, love the dinos.
Did you go in the mouth?
No, because oh. it was like $20 a person and we were like, we're just going to go to our hotel instead.
Oh, it's, you can stand up in that dinosaur that you were next to and you can look down. It's very cool. And if you go in the, I don't want to call it a brontosaurus because apparently it's now called an apatosaurus.
Uh-huh, yes.
The, if you climb up its tail and into its belly, it's a gift shop.
We did go in there.
Did you?
Yes. That was cool. Yeah, it was cool. It was in Cabazon. And yeah, it was cool. We just didn't really plan it, so we didn't have time to do the whole shtick, but next time.
So this is one thing that I got her. Sorry, it just took forever to find.
No, you're fine.
But I think you'll like it. Okay. So it's a hoodie blanket, but it's like Sherpa blanket inside.
That is so cute.
It just looked really
cozy. It looks so cozy. Oh my God, I want one. And yeah, then, you're right. I am jealous.
And then I got her a whole bunch of stuff.
I'm but sure you did.
Basically, the big thing is we're going away and I haven't decided yet how I'm going to tell her. I mean, she'll know by now because she's there with me. But yes. I also got her, we very regularly do street food cinema.
Yes.
Which is, for people who don't live in LA, they have movies in the park every Saturday, and they're always in different parks, but you can bring, like, blankets
and really
stuff like
that. Really fun movies like Mean Girls or Elf.
Yeah. And so they, I got her one of those big inflatable, like, lounge couches. Ooh. That, like, you, like, throw the wind in it and tie it off, and then it's, like, a big inflatable.
Oh, that's so cool.
So when we go next, she has that. I got her some makeup from her favorite spots. I got her, there's a box, like one of those monthly boxes, but it's called Universal Yums, and it's candies from all over the world.
Oh, cool.
So I got her a year subscription to that.
Wow, you are killing it, man.
Yep.
That's adorable.
So that's all I've figured out so far, but yes.
That's a lot. And you're going to Catalina for like a weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet.
I haven't figured out all the plans yet, but I figured out what we're going to do. I just haven't found out how we're going to live there for the weekend.
Okay, like, good, because I was hoping to go to a Halloween party on the 20th, and I was like, it's Allison's birthday, but I assume M has plans. So.
No, I have plans.
Cool. I'm going to a Halloween party.
Woohoo!
I think I'm going to be Janet from The Good Place. So,
all right. That's going to be awesome. You can just go, not a girl. And then you can also pretend you're also me for Halloween.
I'll be like, M's not a girl.
Yep.
And then, what else was I going to say? Oh, this comes out the 21st. This marks like a month away from my honeymoon. So talking about traveling, I'm so excited. I'm going to do a countdown.
All right.
I cannot wait. Going to Belize.
It'll be a wild ride.
It'll be unbelievable.
Shut up.
I will not.
Do you have any like main plans, what you're going
to
be doing there?
I thought you'd never ask. No. Yes, we're going to the Mayan ruins and going to get the tour of all the cool old sites. And there's a jaguar preserve and snorkeling. And it's just going to be dope. Go to visit the like village. And I'm just really excited for the Mayan ruins.
All right. I'm surprised you're not going to like Egypt.
Egypt?
Well, I just know you like Egypt a lot.
I mean, I like ancient Egypt.
Oh, that's
true. I don't necessarily want to go to a...
I don't know. I would love to go to like Colonial Williamsburg, even though I lived there my whole life. Or lived near it
life. It's a very not safe space right now.
Oh, valid. It's
a lot of unrest. Civil unrest.
Wasn't even thinking about that. So. I was just thinking about how you might be able to like find your past lives.
I mean, I'm sure I'll go to the pyramids someday, maybe when things have calmed down over there.
Maybe when we have a live show there in many years.
Cool.
In many moons.
And King Tut's tomb.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that's where the live show is.
Yeah, that's
right
what I'm saying.
In the tomb.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Buy your tickets now. Pre-sale. Promo code Egypt.
Oh, my gosh.
If thinking about salsa in a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. And make sure to turn the jar around and take a look at its clean backside, a list of its all-natural ingredients. Of course, that's what I meant, of course. And all their products are preservative-free, too. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. I'm reading the ad and my mouth is watering. Anyway, the hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal with each bite containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. It's perfect for avocado egg toast or tacos. I sort of feel like they're reading my mind because I put salsa on almost everything, but specifically, I use their salsa. I use usually the medium salsa and then also the hot sauce on my avocado egg toast. And I don't know how the script knew that. Maybe everybody eats this, but I always make toast with avocado and then I put scrambled eggs on top and I put salsa. I can't eat it without salsa. And the Green Mountain Gringo is always there for me in the fridge because it really adds to, I mean, any meal if you're me, but definitely the eggs avocado toast situation. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. And don't forget to check out their backside.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
So I have a really good story for you today.
Great.
It's it's not paranormal. I feel like I always have to warn people about
that. Don't
do
that. Every time you warn people, people turn it off.
Really?
Well, every time you're like, oh, I'm doing this doll that might hurt you, and then everyone turns
off. Oh, it's not a doll. We're fine.
I know.
But by the way, that's very paranormal. That's probably that's too paranormal.
Fair.
So this is...
I just want people to finally hear my story.
You just want... Okay, instead of stopping listening to us, why doesn't everyone just fast forward to Christine's
part? Nobody does that. They just stop completely.
All right. So this is, suggested to me. I don't know how to pronounce your name. I'm so sorry. S-A-I-I. Sai?
Sure.
Say? Sai? I don't even know if that's female or male of a name. They suggested this many moons ago.
Oh, okay.
So probably got so fed up with waiting around for this, you don't even listen anymore. So sorry. This is the history of Bloody Mary.
Oh, man. Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah?
Oh, shit.
I was trying to think, like, this is, like, because we're, this is, like, the most Halloween of an episode we're going to be doing up until Halloween, correct?
Oh. Because this is, there's one more Halloween.
There's one before more before. Halloween.
Yeah, that we have not planned or recorded yet.
Right.
Okay, true. And so we're getting up to the spooky point.
Yeah, and so I was like, well, what's something kind of spooky? And I was like, what's really ruined people's childhoods?
You did that with me with Casper already.
Well, I'm going to do it again.
Great.
So this is more of a historical telling of Bloody Mary and then some of the things that have happened to others while they played the game.
Ooh, the game is so scary.
So I don't know where in the world this game is played. I don't know if it's universally played outside of America, so I'm just going to explain it really quick.
Sure.
So Bloody Mary is a game that a lot of... I'm just going to be gender specific and say in many girls' sleepovers that just happen to be the theme.
I'm speaking from my own perspective. As a little girl, I was obsessed with anything fucking creepy and terrifying.
Look how far you've come.
Yeah. So I just feel like it's kind of like we'd like to scare each other, watch ghost stories. I don't know.
And so, I was never around any guy sleepovers. So
true.
I assume they just like played video games until 3 a.m. and then fell asleep.
From the commercials, it looks like they eat a lot of bagel bites.
That's what I hear. Yeah. I love Tostino pizza rolls or something like
that's
that.
That's the one.
And
then meanwhile, girls are like, Bloody Mary.
So basically when you were like, I'd say like 9 to 12-ish.
Yeah.
And you had a bunch of like a sleepover with a bunch of girls. You would all go into the bathroom in the dark, turn off the light. Sometimes you would. There's varying versions of this, but the most generic one I can think of is you're in a dark bathroom, you light a single candle, and you have to say the name Bloody Mary 3 times to conjure a witch named Bloody Mary to reveal herself in the mirror. And then a lot of people swear that they see the face of someone either looking at them or someone standing behind them.
Oh, yeah, that's one. That one's creepy when they say they see a woman behind them.
Ugh. And then, or some people say that they felt something. Basically, you experience some sort of demonic,
like paranormal
excitement, an adrenaline rush of
sorts.
Did
you say demonic excitement?
I imagine that's what it is.
I love that.
Demonic excitement.
We're full of demonic. Hear it, and that's why we drink. We want to bring you the best demonic excitement.
What's like our company mission? We want to provide demonic excitement.
Yeah, the best quality.
Yeah.
Highest quality, highest rated.
But so...
Organic.
Organic, yeah, of course. And so I now, in hindsight, I don't know why. I mean, it's just when you think about, like, oh, a bunch of little girls, like, they're hoping to find a demon in the mirror. But, like...
It's like those shirts we were talking about, the wicked clothing, like...
Yeah.
Let's
summon demons. I mean, literally, that's what
truly,
we did at sleepovers.
That's literally what we wanted to do.
So if you are a little girl, chances are you've summoned a demon. So... Just so you know, if you've ever been a little girl, you've probably summoned a demon. So the beginning of Bloody Mary, where does Bloody Mary come from?
I don't know, fucking know.
Well, apparently it stemmed from the 70s. That's when the game became really popular. And the theory behind that is because a lot of little kids' older siblings were in the 60s and being either raised by like the hippie generation or were part of the hippie generation themselves. And so they were very into like open mind and spirituality.
Sure.
And
okay.
Someone along the way probably created this game for their sibling
or their younger child. Didn't realize how much they were.
Her name was Bloody Mary. No. also, fun fact, there are other names that she goes by based on different variations of the game.
Really?
Or based on where in the world you are, where you've played this game. So, Bloody Mary. Oh, and also, like, the end of the game is you just, like, run away and scream that you saw something.
Right, that's it.
Like, I feel like other people are like, and then what happens after the demon shows up? But it's like, no, that's the game.
What's step two?
That's the game.
You just
conjure a demon and then just, like, never close the portal and, like, laugh about
it. And then just, like, shut the bathroom door and hope nobody has to pee that night.
Yeah, that's... and then there's always that, like, that one little girl
at the
sleepover.
Nobody has to 10-1.
Yeah.
Get it?
I get it. There's that one little girl at every party who's, like, too scared, and she's whining the whole time. And then there's that other very dramatic girl at the party who's like, I saw it 8 times.
Oh, my God. It's still here, Becky. With me, Becky. I can feel it. Oh, my God.
I bet you Megan still
Megan
sees Bloody
is there.
Mary.
I know. Megan was totally there.
So the other names that Bloody Mary goes by is...
Megan.
Only Megan.
Megan.
me.
it's all about Megan.
Bloody Bones.
Oh.
She goes by Hell Mary.
Oh, I love, oh my God, like,
I like
play
that.
On words.
Uh-huh. Mary Worth, and I will explain these soon. Mary Worthington, Mary Wales, Mary Johnson, Mary Lou.
Oh my God.
Mary Jane, Sally, Kathy, Agnes, Black Agnes, Aggie, and Svart Madame.
Stop it. Stop it right now. Agnes?
Yeah.
Sally? What?
I didn't take the time to figure out the chronology.
I'm not going to say all 40 of them.
I'm not going to tell you the history of all 50, but I'll tell you where the basic ones come from. So
okay.
Basically, it's a ghost that is said to appear sometimes. Oh, I forgot about this, of course. Sometimes in the story, which is the version I grew up with, is that not only does the ghost of a dead woman or a witch or something show up in your mirror, but she is also holding a dead baby.
Oh.
That was the version I grew
sure.
up with.
Sure, yeah.
And sometimes she, like, you just apparently look at her and know that she's coming for your soul. What version did you go with? Do you remember Bloody Mary?
Eva's probably like, this isn't normal. You guys just had a fucked up
Eva's
life.
Like, look, I know we're both from Virginia, but you can back the
I
fuck off.
I want to disassociate with all of them.
No, I definitely had it. The baby part really creeped me out because I never heard
of it. I don't think I had the baby. I thought you were going to say, I think ours was like, she was like bloody or something.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like Bloody Mary. I think in my version, at least, she was like bloody.
I think no one ever told me she was bloody, but it just kind of came
maybe
with the
that's
name
why.
Where I was like, oh, she looks dead, so there must
she's
be blood somewhere.
Blood. Maybe that's why, yeah.
Anyway.
I hadn't heard of the dead, but that's...
I heard that part.
Really fucked up.
Yep. So,
Shocker, I guess.
She could be named after several people, and so I'm going to tell you those histories right now. I'm going to tell you the four big potentials.
Ugh, I just want to know about Agnes, though. That's
Agnes we don't learn about.
Oh, come on.
Or Sally or Kathy. I don't know what's happening there.
Kathy, that's good. Kathy
or Black
like
Agnes or
co-worker.
Aggie. So, Queen Mary, Mary Tudor, the Queen of England, is one of the most potential names for Bloody Mary.
I feel like that's the one I learned.
Yeah? Yeah, that was the main one I saw. Although there were a lot of websites arguing that, like, that she has no affiliation with this
really
at all. So a lot of people defend her as well. basically her backstory, which there's a whole other wild backstory that actually had no association to this, so I just left it. But basically she had a wildly phantom pregnancy, which I thought was really cool.
Whoa, okay.
Where like the whole country was like, you're faking it, you're faking it. She's like, no, I'm not. And then like late, like then like birthday came out and like she was supposed to like give birth to this baby and her stomach started deflating.
Whoa.
And like the whole country was like, okay, where's the baby?
Wow. Wait.
Yeah.
So she, because I mean, you like have all the symptoms, right? Like,
oh, she truly, like truly thought she was pregnant. She got married to Philip, Prince of, he was the Prince of Spain, I think. And he, 2 months after their wedding, she got pregnant and, or she thought, and then everyone for some reason, like thought that she couldn't get pregnant. And so they were like, you're lying, you're lying. And then she, for the last 6 weeks, it was like tradition that she was going to be in the chamber and like preparing to give right. birth. And then when the day came on her due date, like there was no baby and they're like, oh, maybe just a late baby. And so they waited till June, July, and August. The doctors were still waiting for this baby and nothing showed up and her stomach started shrinking.
So when she finally realized she wasn't pregnant, like went back to normal.
Oh. And then apparently she thought she got pregnant again a couple years later. And then her stomach was actually swelling because she died from potentially ovarian cancer.
Oh,
but God. She thought she was pregnant. And then she didn't have a baby
this
there.
This is horrible. Okay.
Something really traumatic like that happened. Anyway, that's its pregnancy. That's its own wild story. But in the midst of her life, when she began to rule, she also determined that she was going to unite her people under the true religion of Catholicism. And so in
Just kidding.
And so in 1554, she signed an act that would result in the Marian persecutions.
Oh, fuck.
Where she sentenced over 300 Protestants to burn at the stake.
What is wrong? What the fuck?
Because it's unifying the people saving souls.
Hear, hear.
Thanks,
I guess.
Priests.
Thanks. Let's bring that back.
So because she literally just killed 300 people to unify the world.
Lord.
She earned the name Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
So that might, and that she actually did earn that nickname. So
she deserves the nickname, I guess.
So then another potential contender, or a contender, a potential winner of the name, I suppose. A champion, if you will. Mary, Queen of Scots. Her husband / cousin.
Oh, maybe this is the one that I thought.
Her husband cousin.
Oh. Yeah, got it. I thought you said it wrong at first, then you're like, no, that's
it. No, I said it right.
Okay.
The Earl of Darnley. While Mary, Queen of Scots was pregnant. Mary, Queen of Scots. While she was pregnant, her husband cousin stabbed a man 56 times in front of her.
What?
Following the murder, he also died mysteriously, and people kind of wondered if maybe Mary, the Queen of Scots, was the person who killed him. But they actually didn't even pay attention to her, even though after he died, she married one of the main suspects.
Oh, okay.
She then, people were getting fishy, and so she ran to her cousin, Queen Elizabeth I, for protection. And instead of protection, Elizabeth threw her in jail because she was afraid of an uprising coming over.
Mm, okay.
Also, enough rumors traveled that Elizabeth also decided that Mary was not worth keeping around at all and decided to put her to death by beheading.
Oh, God.
So,
okay.
Good cousin. Maybe she shouldn't have married this one.
Truly.
So, unfortunately, the executioner who was beheading Mary...
Oh, no.
...was not skilled.
He's an amateur...
And it took many attempts to kill Mary.
Oh.
And after finally beheading her, he tried to pick up her head and say, long live the queen. I almost said long live the king. Long live the queen. He tried to lift up her head and proclaim that. However, he only grabbed her wig. And when he tried to pick up her head, the head fell out of the wig and rolled away.
Oh my God, this is horrible.
So they think that maybe she's Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I would be too, I tell you what.
And so...
I'd get my fucking revenge.
A third person is Elizabeth Bathory, who I think you should definitely do a story on.
Yep. Gotten a lot of requests for that one.
Also known as the Blood Countess, and she was a Hungarian royal in the 1500s. She is the most prolific female serial killer in history, and she is said to have inspired Dracula.
Mm.
She... got away with all of her murders because of how much money she had. Apparently, the king also owed her money. So she's like,
wow,
like a big time.
Yeah.
Hundreds of girls, quote, disappeared in her castle. And there are reports of cannibalism, beatings, stranglings, stabbings by needles.
Ugh!
And lacerations from her own teeth marks were found in these bodies.
Oh, gross.
So there is no way to get an official count, but the estimate is over 600 girls were found in her castle. So another bloody human, not so much a Mary, but an Elizabeth.
Oh, God.
And then the fourth candidate for the title is Mary Bloodsworth.
Oh.
And she lived in Massachusetts. And they also think that she might be bloody, not bloody. Mary Bloodsworth might also be Mary Worthington. They just think that maybe the name has changed.
I was going to say there's another similar one.
Yeah.
Worthington.
And so she lived in Massachusetts and she sold healing herbs. She was so beautiful that people assumed she must be a witch. So
okay.
But also what a life. Like, can you imagine being so beautiful? People think like magic must be within your soul.
You deserve to die because you are so pretty.
So you're so pretty. We should kill you.
No, I'm joking, but
I'm seriously. Not kidding. But like, honestly, you should go die.
Seriously, get on the stake. Okay.
So one year, a lot of the girls in the village began to disappear, and some of the village people went to Mary's home to ask if she had taken the girls, because she must have, since she's a witch and wants to absorb their beauty.
Right. Makes a whole lot of sense.
Valid question.
Yes.
One night, the daughter of the miller in town left in the middle of the night and walked outside in a trance.
Oh.
Her mother saw her leaving and tried to chase her down, but she did not respond. And her screams woke up the neighbors, and basically everyone was trying to chase this girl down. Very much, I know you don't know, but Eva, very much like in Hocus Pocus when Emily is, you know, being... I imagine that story actually has something to do with this story. Because it's very, if you've ever seen the beginning of Hocus Pocus, it seems very much like Emily is being drawn over to the Sanderson house. Okay. So,
yeah, I know.
I know you're that. There. Yeah. You cool. Feel it.
I get it.
So, she was fixated on this house. She like could not pay attention to anyone screaming for her to stop walking over. And eventually the villagers tried to see ahead of where she was going, and they saw Mary's house and it had a strange glow around it. They saw Mary holding a wand and pointing it at her. And the girl herself was glowing as well.
Oh, my.
So the villagers chase after her. They almost caught her, and they ended up catching her. But right before they did, Mary broke a mirror, cut her hand, and cursed all the women and girls of the village. And people call it the Curse of Bloody Mary.
Oh.
Later, people packed in the courtroom noticed that Mary was pregnant, but she would not reveal who the father was, and she said, there is no father. And so they assumed it must be a child of Satan.
Sure.
So
the only logical explanation.
So they said the baby must die, and so they took the same shard of glass.
No, they did not.
Mirror.
Because that cut her so it can hurt her
and,
or something.
Well, I don't know. No. They just found something sharp, I think.
Okay.
And they just...
I'm reading too much into this.
And so they slashed her thick enough that they also killed the baby.
What the fuck?
So now a lot of people say that because the mirror was so important and vital in her death, or involved in her death, that Bloody Mary can now be summoned from mirrors where they sometimes see her looking out for help. They say she wears a bloody dress with rusty chains draped around her neck and shoulders, because in those days, if a witch was buried in chains, her ghost could not return.
Mm-hmm.
Another story, it's like the same, the whole, the girl was running over and the girl was in a trance and the village people were trying to chase her. That whole story happened, but a different ending is that a farmer ended up shooting Bloody Mary in the hip and she fell to the ground. And right before she was burned at the stake, she screamed at the villagers and cursed all people that they could find her through a mirror.
Oof.
And so those are the four people that could be a Bloody Mary.
I don't blame any of them for coming back in. I think I would too.
So
except Elizabeth Bathory, she can go die rotten
right,
hell
for sure. So things that people have witnessed while playing this game.
Oh, I'm excited for this and also very scared. Remember when there's a mirror behind me? I'm glad that's gone now.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
So people have witnessed that after they played the game, later that night, they heard someone walking up and down the hallway when they were the only ones home. A hall light has come on, a bathroom door flew open, the tap started running full force, and the shower came on all at the same time.
Good.
You could hear someone drumming their fingers on the door outside in the hall, like on that door, like someone like tapping their fingers on the door.
Ew.
And then people have had their bedroom closet doors burst open as if someone was trying to like shove their way in.
Mm-mm.
One time, someone's bathroom curtains caught on fire by themselves.
Oh, okay.
Doors without locks have locked people inside the bathroom. One girl ended her chant of saying Bloody Mary three times with also saying, I don't believe in Mary Worth.
Which is that's just asking for trouble.
Then she tripped over the doorknob and broke her hip.
Oof.
People have come out of the bathroom and had 20 different scars all over their arms and legs that look like they have been there for years and then later vanished that night.
Oh, okay.
Some have smelled rotting flesh. Some have watched
flesh.
Can you
imagine a 9-year-old being like, oh, I definitely smell rotting flesh.
But also, like, kids are so in tune. Like, you imagine if a kid went up to you and was like, oh, that was rotting flesh. Trust me. I know.
Okay, setting the house on fire.
You don't know where I've been, okay?
Moving away immediately.
Also, people have said that they have watched fresh flesh fall off of Mary's face while she's staring at them. Some have seen Mary throw her dead baby at them. One person actually wrote a story, because I obviously looked up, like, different people's cases of it. And one person said that that Mary threw the baby at them, and then whether or not she would have reacted fast enough to try to catch the baby, once she threw the baby and the baby left her hands, the baby vanished into her.
Yeah. You would never be able to get rid of that feeling.
I'd be like, trying to get it out.
Wow.
I just feel it, like, inside. Yeah, it's and I'm like, horrid. I need to, like, dry heave this out.
Purge it.
Some have seen, Mary throw the dead baby. Scratches all over their body, like, especially in places where they, like, couldn't have scratched themselves.
Oh, I don't like that.
Some people have said they were so scared they were closing their fists, and then they, like, opened their fists, and there was blood coming out of their hands from their nails digging in so much.
Ugh.
People have said that obviously she's going to reach out of the mirror and touch you. Items in the bathroom will move behind you in the reflection of the mirror.
That's creepy.
Friends, one person, I don't know if it was one person, but as a bullet, multiple people's friends have spoken Latin. Afterwards.
Oh, shit. Now that is pretty cool. Puella Agricola.
Ecce, un espectura, un puella nomine Cornelia.
Oh, my God. Becky's speaking Latin.
Oh, my God. Look at Becky talking about Cornelia.
Oh, my God.
So here are two little stories that I thought were worth reading verbatim. Quote, I went into the bathroom, turned off all the lights, and turned around 7 times while saying Bloody Mary on each turn. 7 times is a different variation of the game.
Oh, okay.
I stopped turning and faced the mirror. I waited in silence for something to happen. I was about to leave when I heard a woman singing. I turned slowly back to the mirror and I saw her. She had long, dark brown hair that was soaked in blood. Her neck looked like someone had slit her throat. I tried to scream. When my brother started banging on the door and turning the lock, she became angry. She was smiling, but she frowned and reached out of the mirror with one bloody arm and scratched me on the right side of my face.
What?
I felt her nails strike so hard that I was knocked to the floor. My head slammed against the side of the bathtub and I was knocked unconscious. When I woke up, I was in the hospital with bandages across the right side of my face.
What the fuck? Where'd you get that from?
I think it was Thought Catalog.
Oh, okay.
I actually have been saving this story for a while, so I don't remember But, I mean, again, within the first 3 pages of Google, I just typed in, like, stories of people playing Bloody Mary. Another one, probably from the same site, was this quote. I did the ritual. I stared into the mirror. Nothing. I stared into all the corners and still saw nothing. Then, right as I was about to turn on the switch, I caught a glimpse of someone. I looked closer. It was black and white, and her mouth was wide open. I expected to hear a scream, but there was silence. There was black all around her eyes, and she was a clear image. I was so frozen, I just stood there looking. Her arms lifted up, and her hands were bright red. A few of her nails were gone, and some were almost all the way peeled off.
I know how you like that, Em.
When the hands appeared to grab my shoulders, a chill ran down my spine, and a rush of cold air blew on my back. I screamed bloody murder, no pun intended, turned on the switch and ran out the door.
I would never do this by myself.
People have also said that the lights will flicker on and off by themselves, or that the toilet will start malfunctioning.
Yeah.
And then there were a lot of stories I read of, like, sinks turning on and off by themselves.
Ew,
or, like,
that,
the cabinets,
can you imagine it's, like, silent, like, and then the sink turns on?
Or, like, growling in the cabinets. That was kind of creepy to me. So this is the science behind it.
Okay. I'm very curious about this.
So staring into a mirror in a dimly lit room for a prolonged period can cause one to hallucinate.
Didn't we talk about that?
Yes, we have talked about that in the...
Because I used to do that. And
in
it's
the Bella...
scary as hell.
The Bela Lugosi mirror episode.
I almost said Mirror of Erised, but I'm pretty sure that's from Harry Potter.
So, yeah, I think so.
Yes.
So, when you're hallucinating and looking into a mirror, which I will delve into, Facial features seem to melt, distort, disappear, or rotate. And there is one guy who really got into the science of this, and his name was Giovanni.
Gio, baby.
And his last name was Caputo. So, oh, well, he ruined Schieffer Lampagnalli.
Not that really smooth sounding Schieffer Lampagnalli.
Giovanni Bernhard or Bernard.
Bernard.
It's always going to be Bernhard in my head.
No.
Giovanni Bernard Schieffer Lampagnalli. Nothing quite rolls off the tongue. So,
he's born to be a star.
Baby G, as we're going to further call him, he created a phrase for this experience, and it's called the strange face illusion. And it's a consequence of partially a dissociative identity effect, which causes the brain's facial recognition system to misfire.
Ooh, so, creepy.
Other explanations for this have been self-hypnosis, optical illusions, and perceptual effects like the Troxler fading, which I will also explain. So psychologist Baby G, he tested out his theory on a group of 50 people, and he had them all sitting in a dimly lit room in front of a large mirror for 10 minutes and just staring at it. And then they wrote what they saw, and all 50 people experienced some form of the strange face illusion. And these were the things that they found. Either it's and or situations. So some only saw one of this, some saw a lot. Huge deformations of one's own face. That was reported by almost 70% of the participants. Wow. That they just saw themselves as a totally different person. A parent's face with traits that had changed. So almost their parents.
Ooh.
8% of those parents were still alive and 10% were deceased. I don't know if that means anything, but no matter.
It's not just like they saw the spirit of their...
Right. It's like...
In some cases.
Right. You could have said like, oh, I saw my mom, but my mom's still alive.
Sure. Okay.
They also say they saw an unknown person. They also saw potentially an old woman, a child, or a portrait of an ancestor.
Ooh.
And they also said they saw an animal face such as a cat, pig, or lion.
Ooh.
Or... 48% have said this, so almost 50% of them said, a fantastical and monstrous being.
That's what happened when, I mean, am I the only one in this room who used to do that?
I think it probably, I tried doing it and then just freaked me out, because a lot of people, which was the almost 70%, said that they saw deformations, like they looked like they saw themselves really old or things like that.
You know, deformed, like you're really old.
I mean, obviously that's what that means. No, I, well, that was part of the breakdown of like, deformations of like, oh, you're seeing like
a different,
like you're seeing like your cheeks are caving in, or you're seeing wrinkles, or there's other like much more like,
well, I used to,
you know what I mean,
I used to do this all the time. I don't know why, pretty fucked up, but I would do that, and I would literally see like, it looked like a demon, like your face would turn in, at least my face would turn into like demonic. It's terrifying, because it really, especially as a kid, you're like staring at yourself in the mirror and like it looks like, I don't know, I remember I did it once and it, like, my eyebrows went up like I was a fucking demon and, like, started smiling. It was, like, the creepiest.
Yuck. Oh, yeah,
it's
dude.
It's not good.
So, now that you've mentioned that, some observers felt in the study that in the beginning they were watching themselves in the mirror, but by the end, many of them thought that the other was watching them.
That's what it feels
not
like.
Not the other way around.
And it, like, smiles at you. It's very upsetting.
So, if you look at your face in the mirror for a long enough time... Because your brain starts getting bored and neglecting the image, you begin to feel a separation from your subjective experience and the person in the mirror. So it looks like another person because your brain is just bored.
It's not just like, I want to stare at myself for this long.
No, it's just like, okay, I've seen this and now what?
Let's make things interesting.
And so it's trying to like look around while there's a person right here. And so it's separated.
I see.
Your identity is not the mirror after a while. Oof. Just staring at it. Also, our brains... it basically comes from mistranslating the information in our eyes. So around, like I said, around 70% of people will see their face being like distorted in some way. They may look older or they may even look like a totally different person. And Baby G described the reason behind this as because the brain pieces your face together. So like the image, whatever you're currently seeing right now.
Yeah.
It's not one like snapshot picture.
Right.
Your eyes are... always constantly updating parts of your site.
Oh, sure. So it's like computing constantly.
Yeah. It's like the way that it was described in one of the websites, which was super helpful, was like, imagine a quilt and like all the patchwork are different parts of your site.
Oh, okay.
And so like sometimes you're fixing this part of the quilt and sometimes you're fixing this part of the quilt. And so you're constantly
like updating
the information of what you're saying, but you never see it all at one time because our brains can't handle that. It's like sensory overload.
Okay.
And so that's why we see things in pieces, but it looks like a whole image.
Okay, sure.
Due to the dimness of the light, or because you're strenuously focusing on one thing, like staring into the mirror, the images that our eyes see might get distorted because the image is distorted because our perception, how would I describe it? Our perception is that the person doesn't look safe because, like, since your eyes are trying to figure out, since it's constantly changing, like, this part of the picture and this part of the picture, it's trying to change something that's constant, and it's adding information that doesn't actually exist. So it's like, if I stare at my own face long enough, it thinks that something has to change, and so it'll accidentally throw something. So it'll make my face look distorted in the mirror. And because a face looks at all distorted, it looks like a threat, because if you think about it, like, a dead body, like, it still looks 99% like a non-distorted human.
Right.
So, like, if only a part of your face looks kind of distorted, your brain still sees it as a threat, or, like, maybe it's death, or maybe it's disease, or, like, I should stay away from it.
Fear, yeah.
And so, even if it's just a little distorted, your instinct is to panic, and so then your brain overworks and starts creating it to be even scarier and scarier to push you away from it.
Get away.
Yeah.
Okay, this actually, can I just say real quick, this reminds me of something. When Renee and I would have sleepovers back in high school, and one time we were like 14 and she was like staring at me and we were like talking in the dark, and all of a sudden she just got like panicked and she just like hit me. I'm not kidding. Like punched me in the fucking face. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And she's like, I was just staring at you. And all of a sudden your face started like morphing. And I mean, we'd just been staring at each other talking for like an hour. And she's like, I'd just been staring at you and your face started to like distort. And she's like, and I just
freaked out.
It was like, she just like panicked and fucking hit me in the face. So ever since then, I didn't let her look at me in the face at night. But yeah, she like,
well, it makes sense then,
true because fear, like, it was like panic all of a sudden.
Yeah, like your brain tries to tell you like, this person is not someone you should be near.
Oh my god, it hurt, by the way, really bad.
So then there's also the Troxler effect, or Troxler fading, which is have you ever done that test online, or like where, like, you're looking at, like, a circle with a dot in it, and if you stare at one part of the picture long enough, the dot starts to fade away.
Oh, yes.
So that's the Troxler fading. Oh. So, basically, your brain doesn't have the energy or, like, the desire to notice everything all the time.
Your brain's too fucking lazy.
Mine is, too. But so, like, if it's not focusing on something, it just tunes it out. Like, you're not really thinking about,
it's like, you don't need to know about this right now.
Yeah. Like, wow. You're not really thinking about, like, how the chair feels right now.
Right.
Until you're focusing on it. Like, if you're not thinking about it, then your brain kind of just ignores it.
That's interesting.
And so, while your brain is honing in on certain things, the rest of the space will fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that circle dot example, it's because if you aren't directly focusing on it, your brain will ignore it, so it's not taking up space for unimportant information. And so, it'll fit in basically where the dot was. It replaces it with, like, just white, like the rest of the paper, because it's just fitting it in with a familiar feature, so it doesn't have to pay attention to it.
Wow.
And so, basically it's like, oh, that's not important. I need this space in my brain for something else. So I'm just gonna like copy and paste basically a section that I'm paying attention to over there.
Like the easiest way to just cover it up.
So like block it up. Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's the same with your face. If you stare at your eyes long enough, but you're not paying attention to your ears or your mouth, it'll try to replace eyes with where your ears are.
Ew.
Or it'll try to replace,
just, like, cover it with.
If there's, like, especially if you're in a dimly lit room, like, if you have, like, a certain contour, like, let's say you have dimples, your brain might be seeing that as just, like, random dents or black spots, and then it'll try to put them in other parts of your faces, so it starts looking like your face is distorted.
Ew.
When it's just trying to copy and paste parts of your face onto other parts of your face so that it doesn't have to think about it, but
this
then it
so
looks creepy,
fucked up.
And then your brain overthinks about it being a threat, and so it just gets worse
sometimes
and worse.
Sometimes it's like, oh, let me just put a dead baby here where your face mouth should go.
Right, and then... so, like, then that's the argument, though. It's like, okay, well, that's for a very specific case of Bloody Mary, where if you're just staring at yourself forever, but it's not like you're in there with a group of like 10 girls and everyone's giggling and looking around and not hardly focusing, like very intensely focusing on something.
Right.
So how come it happens then when you're not really focusing? And they don't have an answer for that. They just think that's, at that point, it's just like mob mentality.
I was going to say, it's probably more just like a bunch of kids kind
saying
of
they
building
saw
on each other.
Yeah. Also, there's always the, you know, the explanation of like, you're in someone's house, you don't know, like you could see a shadow in the dark and not know what it is.
Right,
and
right.
Assume it's a person.
Or if somebody sees something and then it's like power of suggestion, like, oh, I think I saw that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, that is Bloody Mary.
Oh, that is wild. That was a good one though.
Oh, good.
I really like that.
Good. I'm sorry it was more history and science than anything spooky.
No, it was cool. Like, I didn't know that about the science aspect of it.
I think I did it justice. I tried to explain it multiple times in my head before I said it out
loud. No, it made total sense.
I feel like someone's going to write back and be like, actually, I invented the Troxler.
I am Giovanni.
I'll be like, Baby G?
Dr. Baby G?
If you want to call me out, Baby G only, by all means.
Baby G can talk to us, nobody else. okay. Wow, that was good.
And That's Why We Drink is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You won't want to miss Fluid Engine. This is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And I'll be honest, this is a game-changer. Back when I made the And That's Why We Drink website, I used Squarespace. This was obviously well before they were a sponsor, and we have used them ever since. And it's unbelievable how easy this tool is. If any of us, that's the coolest part, any of us on the team can log in and move some things around, update things. We don't need like a dedicated webmaster to figure it out for us because it's so accessible. I love Squarespace. I've made many websites with it before, and it's really easy to get started. You can get one of their Squarespace professional website templates to use. They have designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, add features to fit your unique needs. It's just a really, really cool service. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like fan fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code ATWWD to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
All right. Ready for mine?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the story of Joel Rifkin, a.k.a. Joel the Ripper.
Ooh. I don't know who that is.
Which I just find it kind of comical.
Sounds like a knockoff of Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. Like the Dollar Tree version.
Yeah. It literally sounds like a doll that's like kind of not the best quality.
It's like the one that your parents buy if they can't get their hands on the real one in time. Yes. For holiday shopping.
Yes.
So Joel the Ripper. I wish this were funny, but it's not.
Oh, okay. And that's the end of laughing. See, everyone,
I hope you had a good time. You're gonna feel bad now. Okay. This is sort of Joel Rifkin. So he was born January 20th, 1959. His birth parents were two unwed college students who decided to put Joel up for adoption because they couldn't care for him. So when he was 3 weeks old, he was adopted by an upper middle class Long Island couple named Benjamin and Jean Rifkin. And in 1965, when Joel is six, his family moves to East Meadow, Long Island, and enroll him in the local elementary school. So his family life was like really good. His parents were loving.
I mean, so far sounds great.
Yeah, they really loved him. Apparently they liked having a child, like, so they adopted him 3 years later. They just liked having a kid so much they adopted another girl, so he had a sister.
That sounds like your family.
Just like, I like this.
It's like, oh, I like how this is going. Let's just keep it up. Let's just see how it goes.
Just add some more. Yeah, that was sweet. It was good for now.
For now.
And so they enroll Joel in the local elementary school, but unfortunately Joel had a lot of trouble at school. He actually had undiagnosed dyslexia and really struggled with academics, even though he had a really high IQ of like 125 or something.
Wow. And he's the one that was adopted?
Yes.
Okay.
So both.
Can you imagine if they just like adopted your sisters and they became like Julia the Ripper? Like
Julia the Ripper.
Wait, is Julia the adopted one?
No.
No, Julia's my biological one.
Damn.
Jessica or Marlin.
Oh, Jessica. I was trying to think of the J's. Yeah.
Jessica the Ripper.
Jessica the Ripper.
That could be like the
I mean, time will tell.
Female version.
We don't know yet.
It's not too late. Oh, God. So he really struggled with school, but the more disturbing part was the bullying he received at school.
Got it.
He was targeted because he kind of had a sloping posture and a slow gait. So they called him the turtle.
Aww.
Really cruel. He tried to make friends by joining the track team, but they taunted him so badly that he quit. So he tried to join the yearbook staff, and he was kind of nerdy, and like he and his mom both really liked photography, so he was like, well, I'll join the yearbook. His classmates immediately stole his camera. He never got it back, and he was not invited to the rap party at the end of the year.
That's so sad.
Because kids are fucking cruel.
Also, why were kids in fucking charge? Why? Where was the teacher being like, no, everyone gets invited?
I don't know. Kids are just mean.
I know.
Kids,
I know.
Kids
I know.
Find a way. Kids find a way to bully.
I know.
The turtle. I mean, that's just evil. Yeah. So kids are cruel is the moral of that story. So Joel basically had no choice. He couldn't. And the sad thing is that he really tried to make friends and like.
Yeah, that is really sad.
Accept him. So he had to basically isolate himself and turn inward. And he became obsessed with the Alfred Hitchcock film Frenzy. Which I have not seen.
Mm-mm.
You haven't. In which a London serial killer strangles his victims with a necktie.
Oh boy.
So Joel kind of turns it into his own little world in his head, and he becomes fixated with the idea of strangling women.
Well, it had to start somewhere.
Yep. He's a teenager at this point, and his parents give him a car. He would basically troll around the area picking up sex workers and just having sex with them, basically. By the time he graduated high school and started at Nassau Community College, he was spending almost all his time with sex workers and was just obsessed to the point that he spent pretty much all his money on paying them and ended up moving back in with his parents because he couldn't afford to live elsewhere. He stopped focusing on school, rarely showed up for classes or part-time jobs, and finally in 1984, he just dropped out entirely. So in 1987... unfortunately, Joel's father took his own life because he had terminal cancer and was in a lot of pain. So he took his own life as a way to end the cancer pain. And Joel gave the eulogy at the funeral. And basically from there, things just unraveled further in his life. So things just stacked up in a very,
very bad way.
Bad way.
Got it.
So by March of 1989, at this point, Joel's already 30. And at this point, he can no longer contain his violent fantasies. So he acts on them. He waits until his mother leaves on a business trip, and then he picks up a young sex worker named Susie, brings her back to his parents' home, where he bludgeons her and then strangles her to death. Then he takes an X-Acto knife and dismembers the body in an attempt to hide her identity.
Also, with just an X-Acto knife, like, that takes, like, a lot of, like, heart to, like, it's really... Like,
gruesome, and yeah, you're right, like...
Like, that's not, like, a quick cut.
No.
That's really... You really have to want to hurt somebody.
Yeah. So he basically is desperate to hide her identity, so he cuts off her fingertips and removes her teeth. Sorry, y'all. The two things Em and Eva both hate, teeth and fingernails.
It's okay. We'll talk about you later.
I know you will either way. I might as well make you miserable
We're texting about you already, so it's fine.
Geo's duo in the Geo's duo group. So sad.
Oh,
listen, they already kicked me out of the Boston photo for the Wilbur show, so might as well throw Eva in there. Did we mention that in this episode, by the way?
Not in this episode.
Oh,
no.
Buy tickets for our Boston show.
Yeah, please buy tickets for the Wilbur Boston show.
I meant to mention that.
I'm still having an aneurysm that we're not going to have that place sold out, so prove me wrong.
bit.ly/ATWWD Boston. Okay, all lowercase.
Yes.
So, anyway, nice plug for our live show as I continue on this horrible murder story.
Shameless plug. Buy your tickets, Wilbur Theater. Anyway.
The definition of shameless.
Yeah.
God, how horrible. Okay. X-Acto knife. Right. Back to that.
Oh, shit.
He
cut off her fingertips. We know.
Fingertips, teeth. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
He used the X-Acto knife in her...
No, he's pliers. Sorry. I wasn't going to say it. You asked. I'm sorry.
I mean, there's no, it's not like it's worse or better, but I guess when I imagine a level of pain, it's better than X-Acto knifing.
Well, to be fair, she was gone at this point. Like, oh, it was okay, just her corpse.
Okay.
I mean, not just her corpse, but it was a way to hide her identity after she had passed. So it wasn't like a method of torture.
Thank God.
He had already bludgeoned her to death.
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
Right. No. Uh-huh. And we don't mean it that way. I just mean, you know, this isn't.
At least she's not in more pain.
So he dumps Susie's head and legs. Oh, sorry, I forgot an important detail. He stuffs her head. He takes her head off. Then he stuffs her head in an old paint can and stashes the rest of her body in garbage bags and then dumps the head and legs in the woods in Hopewell, New Jersey, and tosses the arms and torso into the East River back in New York. So, despite Joel's extremely elaborate plan to hide his crime, the head was discovered several days later by a member of the Hopewell Valley Golf Club. Can you imagine you're out golfing and you're like, what's this paint can? Oh my God. I cannot even fathom
literally a
head. The trauma of that. Oh my god.
When was it found? When was the body found?
3 days later.
What do we know? What time? Like what month this was? Because really, all I'm thinking is like, oh, if this was October, I'd be like, oh, that's a good Halloween decoration. And then I would be like, oh no, sure,
yeah, no, it's March.
Okay, so,
no.
So like,
so no,
not a good one. No. Got it.
And it's in the woods, basically. So this guy, I guess, is golfing or in the area.
Oh, I see.
And he stumbles upon a paint can that is
got it,
really full of nightmares, basically. So. Unfortunately, oh my god, I'm sorry. Now I just can't stop thinking about finding a head with no teeth in a paint can. It's horrible. Okay. I hope that person sought therapy. So unfortunately, police couldn't determine the young woman's identity. So I guess he succeeded on that front. A year later, Joel claimed his next victim. He waited until his mother was out of town again, then picked up a sex worker named Julie Blackbird and brought her home. And I guess she spent the night, because it wasn't until the next morning that Joel beat Julie with a table leg, then strangled her to death. He dismembered her corpse in a similar fashion, but this time he placed her body parts in weighted down buckets that were weighted down with concrete, and then tossed the remains into the East River and a Brooklyn canal.
Can you imagine how many things are, like, horrible things are weighed down in rivers?
Oh!
Like, if you, it's kind of like, do divers really want to go all the way to the bottom of a, you know?
Do you really want to go late, like,
think of how boating? Many people have done horrible things and gotten away with it because they're, it must be, like, its own morbid graveyard down there.
That's horrible.
It is. But especially he's not the only person to throw body limbs sure down not. Into water.
Especially in, like, such a high concentrated area like New York, Brooklyn,
ugh.
New Jersey.
Woof. Okay, moving on.
Woof indeed. Yeah, so in 1991, so he's 32 at this point, Joel decides to start a landscaping business.
Oh, Jesus.
Become okay. a constructive member of society. Not really. Basically, he used the rented job sites where he was working to stash the corpses. It was like a front until he could properly dispose of them. So his victims that year included Barbara Jacobs, Mary Len DeLuca, and Yun Lee. And
sorry, I thought of Chun Lee from Nicki Minaj. Sorry.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
Sorry. I thought you said that at first, and I was like, is that what Nicki, like, wrote her song about? And I was like, no, that's the not that's at all.
Literally not.
Literally not at all what that song's about. Christ. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Okay, so.
Did not mean to disrespect a murder victim.
Yeah, I think I just thought maybe I said it wrong, but I think that's right.
No, you said Yun Lee. I heard Chun Lee.
I see. Okay. Yes, Yun Lee. Joel Rifkin would go on to strangle 17 women in a span of 4 years.
Jesus.
And because of so many of these women were sex workers, and because Joel had dismembered their bodies, like, so intentionally, it was really difficult for police to identify the victims, and much less, like, who was perpetrating these crimes, basically. So he had this thing for oil drums, so a lot of times after...
God. Okay. Yeah. Just keep going.
Yeah. Listen.
It's just going
to... It doesn't get better.
I've never heard of a story about an oil drum where at the end I was happy.
Where you were like, that's a great use.
I was like, oh, wow. I've never even thought of putting an oil drum there.
I've never heard a story about an oil drum where, like, there's actually just oil in it.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like...
No one's ever just told a boring story about an oil drum.
Yeah. There's nothing good inside an oil drum.
Right.
So... He stuffed their bodies in oil drums often and would dump them throughout the area, usually into bodies of water, like the graveyard we mentioned.
That'll do it.
In 1993, Joel Rifkin strangled a woman named Tiffany Bresciani, put her body in the back seat of his car, then drove back to his mother's house where he was living, but not before stopping at a few stores on the way home to pick up some rope and some tarp and other tools.
Right. Oh, and some more oil drums.
Just, like, stack some oil drums on the... tie them to the roof on the ski rack.
Yeah.
But the whole time, the body's just, like, laying in the back of the truck. It's like nobody notices.
Amazing. Do you ever wonder, like, what kind of nonsense is in someone's car?
Completely, always.
I do, too.
All the time.
I'm like, I wonder who's getting away with it.
What's in the trunk? I don't know.
Yeah.
Scary. Yeah. So he gets home, moves her body into the garage, then leaves in a wheelbarrow in the summer heat for 3 days before deciding to dump it.
Oh. Those were both gasps.
I thought the second one was a yawn. I was like,
no.
That was a loud yawn. He was on his way to dump the corpse about 15 miles north of his home when police troopers happened to notice that his truck is missing a rear license plate. So they attempt to pull him over, but instead Joel leads him on a high-speed chase, eventually crashing his car into a utility pole in front of the local courthouse. When troopers approach the car, they notice a very strong odor emanating from the back of the truck.
Oh, wait. Let the little children explain to you.
It's the smell of rotting flesh. Pizza, Megan.
Don't worry. I know about it. I know what that's like.
Oh, I thought you were talking about she smells because she's a dead fucking corpse.
Oh, no. I was thinking from Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. Okay. Wow. We have so many references to children being so in tuned with rotting flesh.
We clearly had a troubled adolescence, both of us, I think. That's the only explanation for this. Yeah. So, Megan. So they notice a strange odor that children know well, and it is the smell of a dead body, and you guessed it, it was Tiffany's body. So obviously Joel is immediately arrested, and homicide detectives begin interrogating him, and pretty soon he describes all 17 murders to the police and fesses up to all of them. He writes out all the names he remembers. He even sketches some maps to help police find the victims that were still missing that they didn't even know about. In fact, 25-year-old Iris Sanchez's body was found right where he left it in a vacant lot by JFK Airport underneath a mattress. And he, like, drew them a map and they went there and found her body.
Oh, my God.
And then, yeah. So they had his confession. So they go to his mother's home and scour for evidence. In Joel's room. Okay, this is a phrase that I heard that I read that I didn't know and had to Google. They struck pay dirt.
Pay dirt.
Oh, Eva knows that.
Oh, Eva's smarter than me.
Well, I googled it and it said motherlode, and I was like, oh, it's like another word for motherlode. Like they struck the motherlode.
Oh,
but okay. I just was like, did I read that wrong? But yeah, okay, I guess it's a thing for smart people.
Eva, did you put that on your ZipRecruiter resume that you know what the word pay dirt is?
I did.
Yep.
That her vocabulary is more expansive than ours.
As her hair just flips around from left to right. Yeah.
So they struck the motherlode, pay dirt. Recovering dozens of ID cards, driver's licenses, and credit cards, photographs, articles of jewelry, and piles of women's clothing that he had taken as tokens, basically, from his victims. And then out in the garage, they find a wheelbarrow and a chainsaw stained with human gore, is what it said.
Human gore. Wow. Yeah, that's worse than blood.
I was going to say blood, but I was like, I think it's more descriptive if I use the term, because he cut out bodies with
it. It's weirdly descriptive and more vague.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like you can guess what it is, but it's worse than you think.
It's worse. Yeah. Yeah. It's just anything you could think of, I guess.
Ugh. Yeah.
So the next day, Rifkin, so he had confessed to all these 17 murders, right? He shows up the next day and pleads not guilty. And they're like, really? You just fucking drew a map to their bodies. Right. Like, what are you talking about?
Not so, guilty with my list of 17 names.
Yeah, forget that map and it was an accident. I'm like, what do you mean you're not guilty? So he's transferred to the Nassau County Correctional Facility to prepare to stand trial. And on May 9th, 1994, Joel Rifkin is sentenced in the exact courthouse where he had crashed his car out front.
Ooh, poetry.
Yeah, I wrote ironic and then I was like, I can't say that because everyone's going to be like, actually, irony is not or that. Or Alanis Morissette is wrong. I don't know.
But it is ironic.
I think it's ironic.
I think it's ironic.
I find it to be ironic. And
isn't it ironic?
Yep.
And that's how we're going to end that.
And that is our final say.
And that is our argument.
And that is that on that. take it or leave it. What am I going to say next? Here we go. Probably something else incorrect. Okay. Hold on. So he's initially sentenced to 25 years to life for murder and reckless endangerment for leading police on a car chase. Which at first I was like, 25 years for like murdering someone doesn't sound like much, but I guess that was the max at the time. So ultimately, he's found guilty of 9 counts of second degree murder and is sentenced to 203 years to life in prison. 203 to life. Wow. And I always think like, oh, that's funny. Like as if, but I'm like, who knows? Maybe in 50 years we all will live to be 200.
I do think about that. Yeah. I know like it's so unrealistic that we will be worried about that ever.
They're trying.
But I mean, like, I do wonder, it's like, if someone gets like 150 years, it's like maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
I think it's entirely possible.
151.
I think it's entirely possible.
I mean, if he goes to jail at zero, like,
well, fair.
Yeah,
fair.
Yeah.
But I mean, who knows?
I realized that after the fact.
But even on like 100 or 200 years, like you don't know what technology. Like maybe right. They do live to be 300.
Does it ever blow your mind that one day they'll like be a year, like year 11,000?
Yeah, it does. Except then I think the Earth will definitely be obliterated by then.
I feel like there's no way humans are in your 11,000.
We fucked something
up. I mean, we fucked something up already.
Yeah. So, we're already on a bad track. Yeah. Bad path.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We've really laid a bad path for ourselves.
What we've done is dug a grave.
We've dug quite our own grave. What is that thing? You made your bed, now we gotta lay in it.
Yeah, you made your grave, now you gotta go build your coffin, and then you're gonna really just hate your life when you're lying in there.
You know that old saying.
Yeah.
What do we call it? An idiom?
I think your phrase of it was an idiot M.
I know, but I don't want to harp on that. That makes me feel mean. Okay, 25 years to murder. Okay, to murder, to life. Wow, Jesus Christ. Okay, 25 years to life. He sentenced to 203 years. His first possible parole date is February 26, 2197. When Joel will be a mere 238 years old.
Oh, you know.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Young.
Small potatoes.
Small potatoes. In early 1994, it was reported that Rifkin had engaged in a jailhouse scuffle with a mass murderer named Colin Ferguson, who's also on my to-do list.
Hmm.
The brawl began when Ferguson asked Rifkin to be quiet because Ferguson was using the prison phone and he couldn't hear. So, according to the New York Daily News, the fight escalated after Ferguson told Rifkin, "I killed six devils and you only killed women." And then Rifkin responded, "Yeah, but I had more victims." So then Ferguson just punched him directly in the face. I was like, that's quite a way to respond.
I love a crossover story. I can't wait until you tell his story and then I can be like, oh, remember that time?
Yeah.
Like, it'll feel like the Avengers,
you'll
basically
bring some like drama and you're like, well, I heard that he punched this other guy in
it
the
was
face.
Awesome.
Oh my God, you should have seen it. We were all there. I can't believe you weren't there. So
Megan.
Megan, stop bragging. Okay. Punched him in the face. Prison officials decide his presence is too disruptive, which I guess is probably true. So they move him into solitary imprisonment for more than 4 years, where he gets 23 hours a day alone and then 1 hour a day of like
sunlight.
Sunlight, yeah, to go outside, which just is nightmarish. And so in 2000, he sued, saying his solitary imprisonment was unconstitutional. But a state appellate court determined that his rights were not violated, and he had actually sued for $50,000 for each of his 1,540 days in solitary confinement, which would have totaled $77 million.
Oh my goodness.
But had he received any money, it would have been subject to state laws that earmark most of the award for families of the victims. So that was interesting, because I was like, oh, well, this fucker doesn't deserve $70 million. But then I was like, well, also it would have gone to.
Right.
So I don't know. It's kind of backwards. So corrections officials, so he obviously did not win that case.
Right.
Corrections officials now say that he is imprisoned with more than 200 other inmates at Clinton Correctional Facility who are not allowed to go into the general prison population. And I only know that term from Orange is the New Black.
Perfect.
At a sentencing, you know, my trusty source.
I mean, yeah.
Netflix.
It's 2018.
It's definitely, what is it? Yes. Oh, you mean that I'm using Netflix as my source?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Don't blame me. I'm a millennial. Haha. At a sentencing hearing in 1996, Joel Rifkin apologized for the killings and admitted that he was a monster, which I thought was surprising because he didn't seem very...
At least he's aware.
Yeah, he didn't seem very remorseful until now. So, all right, at least that. So he apologized to the families. And then in a 2011 interview, when asked how he managed to kill 17 women, Joel said, quote, "You think of people as things."
Oh.
Oof, just like... dark.
Very direct.
Yeah, yeah. He also said he just couldn't stop himself. And then he admitted to choosing sex workers as his victims because they live on the margins of society and travel a lot, so they're harder for people to report as missing.
Right.
Or to even notice maybe that they're missing.
Right.
Which is just so sad. Now this is okay, remember how I said it wasn't funny until, or it wasn't funny after that first line? Well, there's some funny thing now.
All right, let's hear it.
So Joel Rifkin was also a bit in a Seinfeld episode, and the episode was called The Masseuse, and Elaine's boyfriend is named Joel Rifkin, and they go to a New York Giants game, and I guess they announce his name on the speaker, and everyone like stares, and remember, this took place in the 90s, so it's like,
oh, right.
Very
so
timely.
Very yeah. Topical.
Topical. So I guess when he noticed, and she kept saying like, you got to change your name. And he's like, no, it's fine. And then he notices everyone's like staring at him. So he agrees to change his name. But basically the whole bit is that they can't agree on a name. And
right.
They keep going back and forth. And so that's that. So that's kind of a funny reference that
yeah.
I thought was random.
I feel like that would have been literally you as a TV writer in the 90s. Like, oh, well, I'm researching this thing for my true crime podcast,
oh
but
God.
You could use it for our show.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Why don't we name him Joel Rifkin? Mass murderer. Yeah.
You should just start doing that if you ever work for another show. Like, can you imagine if you worked at Nickelodeon? You're like, let's just like
I know.
Name him
oh, God.
Ted Bundy.
What let's about just... Son of Sam? That's a cute cartoon.
Yeah, that's fun.
Son of Sam. Oh, my God. How horrible. Okay, so that is the story of Joel Rifkin, and we do know that he is a Capricorn.
We do.
So I pulled up a nice little horoscope.
Nice.
Since last week, we only had a geoscope.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, right. Correct. Yes. Sorry. Yep. My bad.
Nope.
2 weeks ago, we had a geoscope. So now we have a Capricornoscope.
Okay.
You know, just accept it.
Okay.
this is it. And this is that, Joel. It's all about pushing boundaries today.
Uh-oh. No, uh-oh, as in like pushing boundaries and you're already a serial killer.
Yes. Yeah, don't do that. Don't push any more boundaries. Be the first person to bring up a taboo topic and watch how everyone reacts.
No.
This is the first one I pulled up. Like, I'm not making this
up.
This
is way topical.
It's very unsettling.
It's very on brand. Very on brand.
You're able to trigger some interesting responses and get a conversation going. Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Get your controversial opinions out there. And now this was the same website, but it was like a paragraph or two down. So I just copied and added it.
Got it.
For way too long, the misconception that you have to fit in has been dictating your behavior.
Mm.
Even if you haven't realized it, you've been subtly editing yourself and altering your attitude, thinking that it will get you farther. What you may fail to realize is that who you are is defined in part by how you're different from everyone else. Do things your own way. You'll meet little, if any, resistance. Strike out and show everyone the real you.
Oh, boy.
Those are kind of spooky, man.
Very wild.
Like, in context.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, that's the story of Joel Rifkin, who I actually had not heard of before this episode, so.
Yeah, no, sounds, I don't know. I like that he had his little Seinfeld moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he probably doesn't deserve it.
No.
But I still liked it.
I like that they could spin it to be funny.
Yeah.
Like we try.
Like what we attempt.
Like my therapist tells me to stop doing. She's like, you know, Freud talked about this. I was like, I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
I'll see you and Freud in my dreams.
I'll see you.
All right. So
we did it.
Next week is Halloween week.
Dun dun. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
I don't know what we're going to do for Halloween yet.
We should do something spooky.
Considering we're recording this enough in advance that we have time to figure it out. Oh, man. So is today poop day?
I guess so, huh?
If it's 10-2.
Congratulations. Happy
poop day.
Happy 10-2.
Also, like, wow, what a full circle. We started with poop and ended with poop.
We did, didn't we?
Good episode.
I mean, that sounds about right. It's hard for us to get away from that.
Mm. All right. Well, moving on. Happy pre-Halloween, everyone. Happy now birthday, Allison. And
yeah.
You guys can find us on our social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we have our Patreon page all under ATWWD Podcast. Please donate and please follow. You get a lot of good information from us on our social media about like tickets before they actually go on sale and things like that. So we're worth paying attention to. So give me your attention.
We're worth it, okay?
You can also find our website, and that's whatwedrink.com, where we do put our tour dates up.
Yes.
You can just click tour. We have our merch, and that's whatwedrink.bigcartel.com. And we have our email, and that's whatwedrink@gmail.com, where you can submit your personal true crime and paranormal stories. We put out our listeners' episodes on the first of every month. You can also, if you are a Patreon donor, you can patronator. You can also watch every month a fan mail video from us. And if you want to send us some goodies and watch us open up your presents, then you can send them to 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 265, Los Angeles 90027.
Woohoo!
And
also buy tickets to Boston.
Please buy tickets to Boston.
bit.ly/ATWWDBoston, lowercase.
Okay.
Check it out. We can't wait to see you all February 2nd, Groundhog Day, the specialist day of the year.
2-2.
2-2.
Which is also my lucky number, so...
That's right.
Fingers crossed. Oof. On my lucky number day, you guys are going to have sold out the Wilbur. Please!
It's going
to
be great.
Bring your family, bring your friends, even if they haven't listened to us. We'll convince them when they get there.
We will... There will be drinks there.
There'll be drinks.
They'll be fine.
There'll be drinks.
They'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
We're worth
it'll be
it. Fine. We need some attention.
But please come, because I'm scared. Okay. Right. That being said, and...
That's
why
we
drink.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.